Welcome, everyone. So a few things on our agenda. The first thing, and I'm going to talk about the first item, that's our crash report. Can you all see my slides?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, cool. Okay, so I think most of you know, at least anyone that's been part of the CIC before, that give me just a second. That we at AMATS, we publish a crash report every year, and that crash report takes 3 years of data. And so we have just released our most recent crash report. And each year we always try to fine tune some things. And by the way, what is displaying on my screen has some like weird formatting. Are you guys seeing this? Is it normal or are you seeing weird text on your screens?
Definitely seeing some overlap, Matt.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Okay.
Just a little.
Well, I'm hoping it's just that slide. But anyway, there are several things new with our crash report. One of the things that I'm excited about, Amelia has been working on putting together a web map of our crashes. Just as she has done for our Safe Streets for All, we showed that off a few months ago for our high injury network. She's doing kind of the same thing for our crash report. Several other things with the report itself have changed. We have a lot of additional resources at the end of the document that have been added this year. But what I'd like to talk a lot about tonight is some of the trends that we're seeing. So in chapter two of our report, that's kind of our trends chapter. So our overall crashes did go down this year. It was a very, very small decline, but still a decline. And you can see that those have continued to go down over the last decade. So we're happy to see that. Our PDO, which stands for property damage only, so that's our, you know, least severe level of crashes, and our minor injury crashes have also gone down a little bit this year. Our serious injury crashes are the one metric that went up this year. Both of those did rise modestly in 2024, and that's kind of a continuation of a trend over the last few years. But our fatal crashes, some positive news here. Those had been hovering around 65 to 70 each year for the last 5 years, but we saw a pretty precipitous drop in our fatalities and our fatal crashes this year. So we're kind of at numbers closer to what we were seeing before the pandemic. With this crash report, we went into a little more detail into some things that we hadn't done through our annual crash reports, like looking at crash type. We looked at crashes by ages, crashes by drug and alcohol, by road type, things like that. Just a lot of extra metrics, kind of similar to what we did on our Safe Streets for All action plan. But you can see an example here of just crash type of by types of roadways. So rear end crashes are our most common crash type, but sideswipe passing and angle crashes and then hitting fixed object are kind of our big four. Those together comprise just about exactly 75% of crashes. We also look at both bicycle and pedestrian crashes. And so with our bicycle related crashes, our total crashes fell 23% in 2024. You can see the different, by different levels of severity, most of those went down also in 2024. Our pedestrian crashes also went down by a, you know, pretty significant number this year. So that was good to see. So a lot of good metrics on the bicycle and pedestrian side. This is especially important because, you know, we know that bicycle and pedestrian crashes almost always result in some level of an injury. You can see here that, like, you know, at least, you know, about 90% of crashes involving those more vulnerable vulnerable road users result in an injury or worse. We did, unfortunately, have some fatal active transportation-related crashes this year, both bicycle and pedestrian. We always have pedestrian fatalities each year. Some years we don't have any bicycle fatalities, but we did have three this past year. Some other trends, just location, you know, where those occur. We, you know, have those, that data in there. Looking at time of day, you know, we typically see a peak kind of in those afternoon hours with both pedestrians and bicycles. With pedestrians, it's a little more spread out. You kind of have those smaller peaks in the AM rush hour and then other peaks throughout the day. Whereas bicycles, it's that more like, more severe peak kind of in the late afternoon hour. We also look at time of year when those peak. Typically with pedestrians, that almost every year it peaks in October. With this crash report, we have found that it actually peaked in December by just a small margin. But bicycle-related crashes out of the month of the year, they tend to be kind of more in the middle of the year when bicycling tends to be at its highest. Just a quick refresher, I'm going to talk a little bit about our high crash lists. But just remember, we have two different processes at AMETS. We look at our, you know, annual crash report, which is what I'm talking about now, with our high crash list. We also do our Safe Streets for All, which is our five-year data window, and that's more focused specifically on fatal and serious injury crashes. But both are important, both have their place, but we have these two methodologies that we use. So just kind of keep that in mind. So chapter three of our report, we get into kind of the summary of how we look at crashes. So in the three-year period, we have over 46,000 crashes, and all of those need to be looked at manually to ensure their accuracy and that they're occurring, you know, where the reports say they are. And so all of that information takes a lot of time to go through. We eventually sort those into section crashes and intersection crashes. And we come up with a methodology that follows very closely ODOT's methodology of assigning high crash locations. And you can see that here. It's basically three crashes a year on average, or nine crashes over the three-year period. So with sections, it's three per mile per year. And with intersections, it's three a year or nine within the three-year period. And in both cases, you have to have at least 30% that have an injury or a fatality to be considered a high crash criteria. It has to meet both of those criteria. So we have that composite score that considers both of those criteria, and then that's how you kind of get onto that list. And so the locations with the lowest composite score end up being the highest ranked. So we map those out. Here's just a map of our top 50 high crash sections. We had 128 high crash sections this year. Typically, that's about what we see each year. Our two highest ranked sections, both were in Portage County, both in Ravenna Township, one actually partially in Franklin Township, but you can see them here. As far as our intersections, you can see the map here. Those were a little more spread out. Our top two were both in Summit County. We had 217 intersections total meet that criteria of being high crash intersections. And one important thing that I'd like to, you know, it's a good moment to pause and say that most of these locations on our high crash intersection and even our section list have these are locations that our communities are aware of and are either studying or applying for funding to improve. In a couple of cases, there actually have been projects that have been built just in the last year or two or that are underway right now. So like a lot of these are issues that were known because they had, you know, been on high crash lists before. And so communities are, you know, working to address those problems. So like in both of these cases, the city of Cuyahoga Falls is actually applying to ODOT to improve this intersection at Riverview and Ira. And then I believe that this intersection in Akron, I'm not 100% sure on this, but they have some Safe Streets for All money that's looking at high injury network corridors. And I believe this might be one of the locations that they're looking at. So just an example of how some of those, you know, factor in. We mapped out, of course, the bicycle and pedestrian crashes. Our maps this year include those locations by level of severity, just for a little extra dynamic quality. But you can see the locations of where those occurred. And then, like I said, in Chapter 4, we kind of expanded that this year. I think of this as kind of our what do we do now chapter. Chapter 2 is our trends, kind of saying, okay, this is what has happened over the last few years, where we've headed. Chapter 3, we really talk about this is where the issues are. And then Chapter 4 is kind of almost like a resource chapter for communities or other safety stakeholders to understand, like, what's out there, what are the initiatives at the federal and state level, what are the sources of funding available to address safety issues and things like that. So it's just kind of we pile a whole bunch of stuff into that chapter. So in a nutshell, that's our crash report. And I can try to stop sharing. And so mostly good news, which is wonderful to see. But of course, there's always a lot of work to be done. We still have a lot of serious injury crashes. And of course, we have a lot of fatalities, even though those fatalities did go down a lot this year. Always a lot of work to continue doing. So are there any questions or comments about the crash report?
I have a question.
Yeah.
As a bicyclist, I'm always worried about fatalities. You reported there was 3. Was there any commonality between those? Did you investigate, were they at intersections or on roads or 2-lane roads, 4-lane roads? Anything there that would be interesting to...
I can't speak to that. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what the 2024... what the 3 2024 fatalities were. I know looking in past years of data, like, we often tend to see them in a lot of our higher density communities. They're often, and I don't want to say always by any stretch, but a lot of times we see them along arterial routes, 4-lane roadways, you know, higher volume roadways, and you have those kinds of issues.
Higher speeds, probably.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll see, like, you know, those, you know, the roadways that are, you know, usually signed 35 miles per hour, but speed is an issue. Those tend to be areas where you have a lot of those fatal bicycle crashes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. And okay, so we just have 2 other very quick things on our agenda. So we decided that we'd like to kind of just to, in the interest of keeping everybody in the loop on, like, because we're always making small changes to our TIP. We update our TIP every 2 years, but then, you know, in between that, there we have to amend our TIP for different reasons. And so we have both highway and transit amendments to our TIP. And so first we're going to talk about our highway TIP amendments, and Jeff is going to cover what we're doing there.
Evening, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
You're very quiet.
That happened the last meeting, too. So if you had a chance to look at our mail-out packet, there's attachment 6A. which is resolution 2026-06. I have five existing projects that need to be moved up into the current TIP, which is covering 2026 to 2029. So our recent round of funding added projects 2030 into 2031. Those are outside of our current TIP years. These projects are being moved up, so we're adding them. Current TIP that we're in now, projects are not new. They're being moved up into the TIP. So if you were to look at attachment 6A, you would see a project for Summit Street, Stowe Street, pedestrian improvements in the city of Kent. Also see project for signalization at Barney's Busy Corners in Cuyahoga Falls, the intersection of Britton Road, Howe Road, Bailey Road, and South Thomas. So that project was originally in 2030 up into 2027 at Cuyahoga Falls request, and the funding is available. Project up. Project for a roundabout in Stowe at Fish Creek Road and Stowe Road. Right-of-way portion of that project is being up into fiscal year 2028. Veterans Trails to Trails Phase 2 being moved up 2027 and 2028. Fine. And road connector, the Graham Road connector is being moved up to 2028 using TASA funds. Going to add sidewalks on the south side and a 10-foot light connector to the north side of Graham Road from Liberty Road to Lawrence Saltis Drive in the city of Stowe. That is resolution 2026-06. I had mentioned those were pre-existing projects that are being moved up west of the sponsor and with the availability of funds. Or any questions?
I have a question on that. Can you tell me which segment Veterans Phase 2 is? I'm not seeing your report here.
An asphalt pedestrian and bicycle trail between Barlow Road and Veterans Way Park in the city of Hudson.
Oh, okay. So you say it's being moved up. That means sooner or?
Yes, sooner. Well, the design portion is being moved up into 27. Environmental design and detailed design are being moved up into fiscal years 2027 and 2028. I imagine the construction would maybe get moved up a year, but it's going to be outside the current TIP. So I think that's fiscal year 2030.
Yeah, actually, well, believe it or not, the I think you're right, Jeff. You are right. Yeah.
2031.
Okay.
Construction's in 2031 at a federal amount of $956,000.
You guys might remember a lot of these projects may sound familiar. A lot of these we talked about last month when we were approving new projects, and some of the other ones we talked about a few months ago when we were talking about our CMAQ projects. So like Jeff said, these are existing projects, but like usually when we approve a new slate of projects, what happens is, okay, we approve the projects, and then like the year after that, we update our TIP. And then the projects go on to that next TIP. But sometimes we can start some of the projects, and a lot of times it's like the design phase of projects. We can start those projects now or start them like within the existing TIP. It's not like we're starting it now, but we can start it within the out years of our current TIP. And so that's exactly what this amendment is doing. So it's not new funding. It's just, you know, because it's technically going onto the new TIP, it's kind of treated as new.
So this segment just got a TASA grant in 2025. Is that correct? It wasn't initially included, but then it was revised and it was later added. Is that true?
Yeah, so this would be the same project that just got the TASA money in February. But what Jeff was talking about is the design money for that project will be in, what did you say, Jeff, 2029 for
27 and 2028.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so that would just be like, you know, in later years of the current TIP cycle.
So that's in addition to the TASA grant, $956,000.
No, that would be part of the award. That would be part of the award that they were given.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And now Matt is going to talk about a transit-related amendment to the TIP.
Yeah, so this is a simple project. We had a resolution to approve PARTA adding one project to the TIP in this year's fiscal year 2026. They're adding federal formula capital funds. So just a little brief explanation on the federal funds. These are categorized as 5307 and 5339 funds. This particularly is 5307 funds. So the federal transportation bill authorizes a portion of these funds to the urban areas, which we are in the Akron UZA, which consists of basically our MPO region, but slightly different. And our two transits in this area are Metro and PARTA, and they split the funds based on just levels of service and population. So Metro gets like kind of 75% of the funds or 80% of the funds, and PARTA gets kind of 20%. So PARTA is adding $240,000 of federal funds, 5307 funds, to fund a fire suppression sprinkler system on their downtown Kent Central Gateway, which is their main transit hub. And then there's it's a multimodal facility. They have parking as well. And so it's just a simple project of them adding that funding to the TIP to fund this project. Yeah. Does anybody have any questions about that?
I can't remember what TIP stands for. Can you help me?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, this is a transportation improvement program. And so that is what we use to categorize our projects. And then those projects are approved through our policy committee. And then we send those to the to ODOT to put in the state transportation improvement program.
So the TIP is basically, it's our program of projects. It's a 4-year listing of the projects that are actually programmed to receive funds.
Okay.
So when a community receives funding, their project eventually gets placed on a TIP. Okay, well, that is all we had for our agenda, but I'm sure there are other questions or comments. Does anybody have any other items for discussion tonight? Or does everyone just want to go watch some basketball?
It's going to be a short meeting.
Okay. Well, thank you all for joining. And if you have any questions, always feel free to reach out, give us a call or shoot me an email. Otherwise, we'll see you next month or next time around.
Good night. Thank you.
Okay. Good night. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone.